Hello, this is the Horrors of the Earth podcast, and I am Josh.
And I'm Clarissa.
So today we are going to be talking about lots of things. We are going to be starting off with the Black Eyed Children, so...
Yes, which Josh did some research on a little bit without my permission.
Oh my gosh, it's very...
Told him not to.
It's very much a thing that you wouldn't want to talk about. No, you don't want to know.
Yeah, but we're just here to give you a nightmare. Okay, so to start off, I'm going to start with a legend, Josh.
Right.
Do you know anything about the legend?
Do not know anything at all. All okay. I know is it's going to be really creepy.
Yes, you've seen a few photos, haven't you?
I have seen a few photos, and if you Google Black Eyed Children, they're like, I literally Googled Black Eyed Children and saw one photo and read a couple of lines of text and I was gone. It is...
Anything to do with children and the paranormal can be creepy, Josh.
I mean, yeah.
So, the legend is that if you hear a knock on your door and you look through the peephole to see a child or a teenager asking to use your phone, or you're walking alone in a deserted area, where you are then approached by hooded figures in the form of children who are in need of your help, and they've got black eyes. Only there's always something off about them. For one, you feel a sense of dread and terror as they approach. And if you're brave enough to stick around, you might see them look into your eyes. Only what is seen are dead black eyes, devoid of any humanity. This is the mystery surrounding the black-eyed children. And this is the story that I got with this legend that has been increasing popularity around the internet for decades. So, the urban legend. Best bit, if you ask me.
I thought that was the urban legend.
Oh, no.
Oh, my
gosh.
That was, like, creepy. I feel like I'm never going to go outside again now. Just like already.
We're trying to give him nightmares, by the way, guys.
Oh, and
I know I've said it before, but I really want to hit home with this.
The audio should be a lot better in future. We are just, obviously we can't meet up at the moment, so we're doing it over the phone, and although we're using Messenger, we're trying to get the audio as good as possible, but it will improve. So, yeah.
The urban legend of the black-eyed children, or black-eyed kids as some people know them, has been circulating the net since about 1998, when a journalist named Brian Bethel wrote about a close encounter while sitting in his parked car. Two boys came by asking for a ride home, explaining that they were on their way to the movies and forgotten to bring money. Bethel was tempted momentarily to comply, but his better judgment told him to hesitate. There are many like superstitions around the black eyed children. That one of the main ones that I know of is that if you do as they ask, and obviously this is just a superstition, we don't know if it's real or not, but if you do as they ask, they can make you feel sick for days. Like letting them in your house can make you feel sick, and sometimes even death. So
what if you don't do as they ask?
Ever see these children? I don't know. I haven't actually seen much about what they do if you don't comply. I have a longer story here, and it's called The Midnight Talker.
Okay.
Caller, not talker. Sorry.
It's a long day.
I'm not sure who it's by, but if the name at the end, I will mention it. Okay. It almost felt like a dream. I woke up to my dog, Lucy, barking. She was upright on bed where my husband and I were sleeping with our 22-month-old daughter. Staring at her door like an unknown stranger was out there, rummaging around. I thought she was just freaking out over a house noise. We'd only had her for 3 months and she was still a puppy. It could have been anything. Our roommate, a creak from the house settling, the awnings moving outside in the breeze. I wasn't too concerned initially. I decided the best bet would to be open the door and show her there was nothing there. It sounds a bit silly, but it's what we do with our daughter when she gets scared. And I figured it should work with a puppy too. I opened the door and she raced to the front door. She stood there, snarling at the door. It was an angry, violent growl, one I had never heard her make before. I looked groggily at her and opened the baby gate, blocking the doorway, planning to open the door and show her everything was okay. The second my hand reached for the deadbolt, Lucy went wild. She started barking and jumping towards me. And when I touched the metal, she suddenly changed her temper. She whimpered, almost like she was afraid and backing down. As her mannerisms changed, so did mine. I wasn't calm anymore. My heart was racing and sinking at the same time. I had been flooded with a mixture of fear and dread, and I looked through the peephole. I can only explain why I looked, but I did. Outside were two kids. One was just a smidgen shorter than me and didn't look much younger. I'm 21. She looked to be 16 or 17. She was slender and pale. Her hair was light shade of honey blonde, and she wore it long, about mid-back, with long, thin, blunt bangs in the front that covered most of her eyes. She wore jeans, a light wash that's popular right now, and a thin-looking olive-coloured pullover-style hoodie. She held the hand of the small girl, who looked about three or four, the same style jeans and buttoned-down ivory cardigan. The smaller one looked at the floor shyly, but had the same shade of hair tied back in a ponytail. She held a stuffed toy under her three arm, and it was identical to one my daughter had, as were their style of dress. Had it not been for the feeling of overwhelming dread and fear, I probably would have asked these children in and given them some tea or hot chocolate to get them out of a bit of cold. Something about them seemed off. At this point, I hadn't made any noise. I hadn't shushed the dog or grumbled, nothing. I hadn't turned on any lights. These kids had no indication that I was at the door. The older one spoke. She had a voice that was mature, confident, strong, and accentless. She held her head tilted downward, and I couldn't see her eyes. She said, "We have to use your phone." I stood frozen in fear. How did she know I was there? She raised her head to face me directly, and that's when I saw her eyes. There was one reason I couldn't see them through her bangs. For they were black, or midnight blue, or dark, dark purple. They were otherworldly, she said. "Our mother is worried." As someone who has been interested in creepy stories, I knew what she was the second she looked at me through the door. I'd never been one to believe in these things, as such autist and skeptic when it comes to the paranormal. I'd written off many ghost stories from friends and family members, eager to tell their tale. I didn't believe it. Still, I couldn't rationalize my way out of this. I was standing with nothing but a thin wooden door between me and a black-eyed kid. There was no question what was right in front of me. I did not answer her. Slowly and silently, I backed away from the door. Lucy, cowering at my ankles, she kept talking. "Just let us in to use your phone." I took another step back, and with that, the tone changed. At first, she seemed polite. When I took the second step back, she became commanding, almost hostile. "We're not going to hurt you. If we wanted to do that, we would have broken in. I'll ask again. May we come in to use your phone?" Lucy snarled at the door and inched backward, but something inside me seemed to be slowly pulling me back towards the door. It wasn't a physical pull so much as a subconscious need to go back and let them in. I got to my room, covered up the window, locked the door, and sat there in the dim light of the night. I heard her call me back to the door once more, and then quiet. I didn't go back to sleep that night, and I haven't slept right since. I know from reading about them that Bex can't just come in without permission. I know that they haven't hurt anyone, but I still fear I'll be the exception. When I told my husband, he said it was just a dream. He kept telling me to forget it, but the lingering feeling of sadness, this dread when the house is silent at night, this fear of a knock at the door, this tells me otherwise. So, Josh, scared to open your door now?
I googled black-eyed children and looked at some photos, and it just, oh my god, it's like, you should never open your door to anyone, just don't, like, not even family.
Yeah.
Someone has literally wrote a book on this, it's crazy. It is, to imagine the idea of, so just imagine you're sitting, drinking something, sitting down, someone knocks on your door, and they open your door, and they have black eyes. That is just, I would just slam the door.
Yeah.
I think that is.
What if it was like a three-year-old, though?
Kick him. Kick him, like, into the road.
Obviously, he's joking.
I am not.
He's not homicidal.
I'm not joking. I would totally do that.
Yes, he is. He's joking.
Well, maybe if we were in America, yes.
What, you do it in America?
Not, yeah.
Fair enough. America's in a bit of a state at the moment, isn't it?
See, we could do a Horrors of the Earth episode on that. I mean,
what, just America? Yeah,
that's pretty much a horror of the earth.
So our next theory, it is a theory, this one, it's mirrors and the portal theory. Basically, it's saying that mirrors can become portals. Man. I heard this story once where this woman brought a vintage mirror from, obviously, a antique store.
Yep.
And she loved the mirror, but for some reason, her husband didn't. And so she wasn't allowed to keep it in their bedroom, so instead she left it. She hung it up in the hallway. And every night, her daughter would come in saying that she saw something in the mirror, though the mother obviously wouldn't believe her, so she'd take her to the mirror and show her, and there'd be nothing there. Until one night, when she did that, she saw something in the mirror. And the husband had previously, but obviously she hadn't believed him either. And then the day after she saw something in the mirror broke. And, well, a lot of crazy stuff started to happen. There were scratches on walls and things like that when they don't have any pets. And their daughter was about, like,
oh no,
five.
The idea of someone living in your walls, though, like, that is insane. Oh gosh.
The title of this bit is My Story of Evidence of Mirrors and the Portal Theory. It was the 10th of May 2019, and I had finished work a little early that day. I was Seti doing some research into the field of the paranormal, as I'm an active paranormal investigator, pardon me, that has a passion for trying to reveal more from under the veil of mystery that drapes over the spirit world. I have a belief that if we wish to find answers to the mystery of what happens to us after we die, then we need to put ourselves into the trenches as if we were prepared to get our hands dirty. I believe that we need to push forward beyond the limitations of our minds and getting deeper understanding of the strange parallel dimension if we are ever to undercover that what really happens to us when we die. Over the past 7 months, I have done lots of reading into different theories with paranormal community and was late to look into astral projection theory. Okay, it's not very long, so I can read this for you as well. For those of you who are unfamiliar with astral projection, it goes like this.
Alright, okay, we'll just
I was on this afternoon beginning to feel tired and felt as though I could have a nap. It was then I had an idea instead. What if I was to attempt a crazy idea to astral project out of my body again? As I tried this experiment once before successfully, which had been cut short by an electronic device awakening me mid-journey. I remember laying on the settee and beginning the thought process of imagining my spirit leaving my body, as the research seemed to suggest one had to do it if they were to astral travel. Throughout my life, if I had slept through the daytime, I would suffer from sleep paralysis. As a rule, I try not to sleep during the day. The sleep paralysis, which would make me feel as if I was awake and conscious, yet my body was sleeping. If I tried to move, I couldn't, then the panic would set in as I attempted to waken my body and involuntarily. Yeah, that's the one, thank you. I would eventually break through from this limbo, like state of fear of panic, and back to the land of the living with full function of my body. Anyway, as I said, this day I decided to try again, and I was drifting out of consciousness. I invited any spirits that were present and could heed my call to take me away and show me the spirit world that I craved to see. After a minute or so, I felt as though I had been transported to another dimension. I couldn't see a thing. It was pitch black, but I could hear. I heard what I believed to be an alternative place. Old-fashioned music was playing in the background, and I heard a man and woman talking and arguing. Could I have really managed to travel to a spirit dimension? It seems so. After what seemed to be a short period of time, I tried to call out to the people I could hear, yet not see. But the words would not come out of my mouth. I was paralyzed completely at this moment, and the fear I had before began to creep up on me again. As the fear rose, I attempted to leave the alternate dimension and found myself in. Yet every time I tried to get up, I was slammed back into the upsetting and my body would start convulse or fit. I remember beginning to panic even more as I felt whoever had taken my spirit to this alternative place was not keen on letting me go. Each time I tried to move my body, it felt like I was being dragged back into the room with the music playing and the people talking. One very clear memory I have is that I managed to somehow slide my way to the end of the settee in an attempt to escape the spirit world or room I was in, and I felt as though he actually grabbed a hold of me and forced my head down into the settee, and then I began to fit again. As my body was skipping back into between the two realities, that of life as we know it and the other world we played, I had been taken to. After what seemed like an hour or so of this constant cycle of fitting and being dragged back to the spirit world every time, I tried to force myself awake. I couldn't. I was well and truly trapped and panicking for my life. Luckily for me, my wife was just finished work and came into the house. Her sight of me was seeing me fitting and convulsing on the settee. She was unaware of the experiment I had seen successfully engaged in. I remember skipping back into from the consciousness, back to where I had been taken to. Escape seemed futile, and the spirit world could drag me back into its clutter at will. I remember one moment of me skipping back into the reality of the living room. I was aware that my wife had now entered the room and she was beginning to panic. I remembered hearing her calling out to me. "What's happening?" she asked, and she saw me begin to convulsing again. In this moment of release, I managed to whisper to Mandy, "Fetch me a glass of water. I hope by having a drink I could escape my predicament." She was panically heavenly by this point as she witnessed me passing back out on consciousness and starting to fit again. It must have been terrifying and confusing sight seeing me lay there in this state. For all she knew, I could have been having an epileptic fit of something similar. I do not remember Mandy going to get the glass of water as I passed out again and was back in the alternate dimension. But somehow, I again managed to escape the spirit world as she passed me the glass of water to my slightly outreached hand. I was having great difficulty moving. It was as if my body wasn't working like it should in the reality we call life. But as I held the glass of water, I immediately fell unconscious again and was transported back into the music playing room. And the sense that I was being held captive by some sort of negative spirit that had gladly taken his opportunity to capture the very essence or spirit of me away, as I had openly invited to start for the experiment. Mandy later told me how she then became consumed with worry, and in this moment she quickly grasped the fallen glass out of my hand as my grip let go again and my body failed. I was back in the music room again, this time though it felt as though I was in the late 1800s in America somewhere. I was beginning to glimpse my surroundings. I could see flashes of the room by now. It was old-fashioned decor and a brown in colour. The music was coming from some sort of record player, but I couldn't be sure. Maybe I was in a saloon or something and someone was playing musical instruments, but I honestly do not know. By now, Mandy was beginning to physically shake my body. I began hearing her panic shouting to me again. "What's going on? I was trapped. There was no escape from the predicament I had got myself into. Suddenly, I was aware by my surroundings again, for the moment back in the living room of my house. But Mandy stood over me, screaming in panic. I opened my eyes quickly as I realised this was a chance to escape. I spoke out to Mandy to pull me up. I was able to reach out my hand. The very moment Mandy held my hand and pulled me up, it was like I was immediately released from the spirit dimension that I had been held captive in and was fully back in our reality. Finally, I had escaped. And the minutes after this experiment, I felt like I had been hit by a train. My body ached all over, and I was completely without any energy whatsoever. This physical condition has been reported many times by others who can astral travel as an after effect of what they have experienced. I began to try and explain what happened to Mandy, but my head was like fog. I couldn't think straight and was so confused still to what happened to me during the astral projection experiment. Some half an hour passed, and I was beginning to recover from the ordeal, and I was telling my wife that I had successfully astral projected to another dimension as it felt so real. Mandy then said, "Okay, this is something I do not agree with whatsoever. Okay, let's hold an Ouija board seance to see if we can validate what happened to you."
See, this is the thing. You should always use Ouija boards. They're the best, aren't they?
No, they're dangerous and you can get into some real trouble with
them. I feel like we should do one for the episode. Email us at the Horrors of the Earth podcast at gmail.com if you would like us to use a Ouija board on an episode.
Yeah. You can also tell us your stories and they may be featured.
They most likely will be featured if we haven't done it already.
Yes. Okay. I had used the Ouija board a great many times, but at this point, and had had multiple communications with spirits using the board. Okay. We decided to film the Ouija session to capture any evidence we could gather, and if we're glad as we did that the session we were about to have was truly outstanding. I don't know why this came up when I searched mirrors and the portal theory, but I guess that I'll get into that in a minute. Negative predicts. Okay.
Sweet.
We quickly set the ritual we were using to conduct the seance with a Ouija board and began. What were you going to say,
I was
Josh?
Going to say, what do you think about the whole idea of mirrors being able to turn into portals?
Technically, anything can become a portal. If you can communicate with something like a Ouija board, that is a big way that spirits can come through and be invited into your space, even if unintentionally. I have seen quite a few times when people have said, if there's someone there, pinch me or something. But by doing that, you are inviting them into your space, and there is a potential threat that they could cling on to you and harm you. See, I do know quite a bit about this. If you do want to communicate, I do recommend a spirit box. It's probably the most safe way you can do it.
Okay, so we're saying do not buy a Ouija board unless it's for entertainment. So basically just buy one if you want.
If you're not a believer and you...
I'm a believer.
If you're not a believer and you don't really see the point, if you're going to use an Ouija board, just make sure you do your research into it first.
Just don't ask if you're going to die.
No. That's a very... Because more than likely, the spirit will tell you it sometime soon. And because they have power, they will make it happen.
Yes, and...
We quickly set up the ritual we were using for conducting the seance with the Ouija board and began. Almost immediately, we received a movement from the planchette to the word yes. And the very first sentence that the planchette spelled out was, Mandy is evil. We asked, why is Mandy evil? We both had a feeling we had been in contact with a negative human spirit that wasn't good. However, I am used to speaking with spirits through the board and immediately took command of the negative presence. Again, I asked, why did you say Mandy is evil? The spirit replied, it was a joke. And I, meaning, was in fact the evil one. When we asked the spirit, can you please tell us your name? No, was the reply. We asked the spirit, was it with us now? Was it the one that had taken away my alternate dimension? And it unbelievably said yes. We had now connected with my captor. The spirit told us eventually that he was called Harlem, or possibly he had taken me to Harlem. And it was his music I could hear. I was trying to bully us or instill fear into us, but we were experienced enough with the Ouija board to overpower any spirit energy that came forward. After beginning... Being told that the answer to my questions for a short while, I then asked, how did you get in this house? He replied, you invited me. That is the whole problem with Ouija boards and astral projection. If you ask something to do something to you, they will latch on. And you can be unintentionally inviting negative things into your home.
Do you feel like someone is standing behind you right now? Because I
no.
do. Yeah.
Well, Josh, I'm very careful with the paranormal, so.
Yeah, I think I'm never going to buy a mirror again. I am also never going to, I need, like, a camera on my neck so that I can see behind me at all times.
Okay. I guess I had. I didn't, okay, this is from the bit you invited me. I guess I had. I didn't say or stipulate that I wanted to astral project by only good spirit. Just the spirit. So it was sort of my own fault for letting my guard against negative forces slip. I asked, how did you get into the house? Did you come in through the bathroom portal upstairs? This really relates back to an Ouija session we had where my mum came forward and told us we had a small portal to the spirit world in our bathroom upstairs, a room with three mirrors, two of which are the cabinet of a wall and one a broken mirror that we have sat on the edge of the bath. Why on the edge of your bath, though?
Interesting. I was just going to say what you think, but ask what you think about broken mirrors and the idea that break them.
Well, if there is something using a mirror as a portal, say there was something trapped in it, breaking the mirror is a way of releasing it. And more often than not, it is likely to be a negative spirit or entity.
The only thing that is trapped in mirrors is my ugly face, so...
Hey!
Anyway.
He's not ugly, guys.
You'll see. He's not. We won't have... We'll be on... There'll be a couple of episodes on YouTube. Some point, not this episode, because we don't have a camera set up, because, well, we're in different places.
It's charged. Yeah, that's it. Okay. I didn't know who put this broken piece of mirror there, but it had seemed to become, I suppose, quite dangerous. Object's new place of residence. Was this the portal, a broken piece of mirror, which could tie back to all the historical theories that have been circulated for centuries regarding different beliefs with mirrors? Anyway, Harlem, as we now refer to the spirit, said no, he hadn't come through the bathroom door, as he called it. I asked, did you come through the mirror we brought recently at a charity shop whilst on a paranormal investigation? He said one word in reply, clever. Okay, I'm going to admit this because I want to be real with you guys. I just got a shiver down my arm. So,
wow.
First time that's happened in a while.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen a lot more reading these stories.
I don't even know how long this one is. Okay, it's not much longer. Okay, clever. It was as if he said it in a smarty, sarcastic way. You have rumbled me, and I know how to manage to get in your home and take you away. I said to him that the door to the spirit world was meant to be upstairs in the bathroom. Hera's reply was swift. You changed it. I had somehow changed the portal or doorway to the spirit world to this new mirror. There is a backstory to this mirror I will explain at the end. If the backstory is not too long, I will read it, but otherwise, I will tell you the website and you guys
can... Yeah, we'll leave a link in the description so you can check that out. We'll leave a link to all of the sites and places, so if you want to read any of the stories.
Yeah, the first story with the black-eyed children was 16 terrifying encounters. I only read the first one because it was the longest and the best of them all, I think. So
yeah, apparently that is just the creepiest. What if you turn into a black-eyed child?
I don't think that's how it works, Josh.
Yeah, but what if like...
They're paranormal entities.
Yeah, but they could like turn you into something.
Okay. After we had collected all the answers we felt needed, we began to process of removing the spirit from the board and out of our home. We knew he was a nasty man in life and also a spirit and he needed to go. I again took charge and told Harlem he was not welcome here in our home and indeed not welcome through our Ouija board, and I ordered him to take the planchette to goodbye and leave our home. He knew he had no power over us and had to do as I commanded, and the planchette moved slowly to goodbye. We immediately said the closing prayer of protection and banish all spirits we may have contacted with to go back from where they came from and not to stay in the spirit in our home. And then removed the planchette from the board and overturned the board itself to display the energy we had created with our seance. At this time, Mandy was a little rattled by the nasty spirit and said she felt burning sensation on her neck. She went to look in the mirror on the wall and was shocked to see a burn mark or welting coming from her neck. She turned to me, look, he has marked me. That's why you don't talk with a Ouija board.
I once had an experience where someone I knew had a bruise, and it was multiple bruises, and it looked like someone's hand was there. Which is crazy.
That can be quite common with negative spirits. They like to mess with people, make them feel uncomfortable.
Well, that was in this house, so we got to move then, I guess.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I took pictures to record the evidence of Mandy being mugged by this negative spirit, but further validated to us how dangerous the Ouija board can be. See? I told you so, Josh.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is something. Because you're also...
Oh, they have a YouTube channel.
You also... We'll link that then. You're also supposed to burn it, aren't you? If stuff like that happens.
If a figure eight comes through... Oh, there's actually a video of them doing the seance.
We'll link that.
This is going to be really cool. I'm going to watch it later. Love the paranormal I do. Their YouTube account is The Chosen Ones Paranormal Investigation.
Yeah, we'll have that.
They've got no like. I'm liking it for them.
Yeah, we'll have all of that stuff linked down in the description of the episode. So, wait. Don't look now, unless you can, without stopping the episode. But yeah. Go check them out.
Okay, now, the backstory to the new mirror we purchased in the charity shop. Okay, it's not very long. We had booked to go to a paranormal investigation to a place called The Village in Mansfield. A friend of ours, who was also a paranormal investigator, was hosting the event and had promised us to free reign of the location to conduct our own research and run our own experiments. One experiment we had wanted to try involved using mirrors. We had seen lots of evidence regarding the theory that mirrors can be a portal or gateway to an alternative dimension, as it believed mirrors can sometimes show you the spirits that we cannot see with our own eyes in their reflection. There's the bit about mirrors. Okay. We were going to take the mirror into a location and take some pictures through it. We never did get around to doing this experiment as it didn't quite go as we had planned. Anyway, we hadn't taken any mirrors with us whilst out for a walk in the area before the investigation. I decided I would purchase 2 mirrors, if possible, from the charity shop we were now walking by. I asked the woman behind the desk, "Do you have any mirrors?" She said, "Yes. There's one there, and there's one over there on the shelf." Very descriptive.
I feel like going to a charity shop to get mirrors is probably the worst place to go to get mirrors, because there's probably loads of dead people that have, like, been in contact with that. I would not get my mirror from a charity shop.
There's actually a Victorian theory that they did back in the days. They used to cover every mirror in a house after a person had died because they feared that their spirit would be trapped in mirrors.
That's why you don't buy
them. So this theory does go back. It goes back centuries. So
just use a camera on your phone or something instead of a mirror. We don't like mirrors.
Victorians?
I'm talking about now.
Okay. The mirror that was on the floor was hidden from view amongst other picture frames, etc. It had an old-fashioned bronze frame mirror that looked like it had some age to it. I do like the sound of this mirror, though. It sounds pretty, but do I want the evil spirit attached to it? Not necessarily. I do have quite an old mirror in my room, but it's not, like, so old. It's just older than most mirrors. I asked the clerk whether she knew the history of the mirror, and she then said something that struck us as odd. "Oh, that mirror has a lot of interest from people, but for some reason when they go to buy it, they suddenly change their mind and put the mirror down and rush out of the shop." Ooh. Why did she tell them to us? Was there some link to the theories that spirit can reside within mirrors? And had the mirror shown itself to the other potential buyers in some way that had scared them off buying it? Perhaps. Naturally, I had to buy it. This man sounds like a great person. I mean, he's very brave for buying a mirror. If there are other people who have picked it up and said they were going to buy it and then didn't. Naturally, I had to buy it. With a strange revelation, it was perfect for what I wanted to do it with. Little did we know it had some sort of mystical link or portal attached to it in the spirit world. So there we have the evidence from this person. I am trying to find who wrote it. It doesn't say. But they do have a YouTube channel.
Go follow that.
Their Yeah, don't like and subscribe. We'll do anything to help. If anyone's ever mentioned in these, like, YouTubers or things, we will...
We'll credit them.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about that, then?
I like how they didn't just say it happened and not give any proof. There is actually a YouTube video on the seance,
yeah,
the Ouija session, which I am going to watch because paranormal, yep, is awesome.
So,
see if it riles up any of the ghosts in my head.
Horror film of the week.
Dark Shadows. It's on Netflix at the moment.
Yeah, so go watch it now. You should have Netflix. And next, yeah, up, we will be reading, starting a book, which will be a recurring thing on each episode. We will be doing a chapter of a book called...
It is called Frozen Charlotte.
Frozen Charlotte. So that is the book we will be reading. We'll start on chapter one today.
It's by the author Alex Bell. He has wrote quite a few stories, and I think that most of them are horror. I've only read parts of this one.
Right, so yeah, we'll be doing this each week, or every 2 weeks when we upload at Tuesday at 11 a.m. if you didn't know that. So we are going to start.
I'm only going to read the introduction because this episode has been a little bit longer,
yes,
than we thought.
So we'll do the introduction today, and the chapter, the first chapter, will start the next episode.
Yes. Okay. The introduction is called Isle of Skye, 1910. The girls are playing with the Frozen Charlotte dolls again. The school mistress had given them some scraps of fabric and ribbon from the sewing room to make out to the garden, and they would practice their embroidery skills by making little dresses and bonnets for the naked porcelain doll. They'll catch their death of cold otherwise, the teacher had said. But there was one girl who wasn't playing with the others. The schoolmistress sighed when she saw her sat alone, fiddling with her blindfold. The girl complained. It was uncomfortable, but the doctor had said it was necessary to keep her wounds clean. And besides, the sight of her ruined eyes frightened the other girl. The schoolmistress got up and went over to her, just as she succeeded in untying the knot. "Now, Martha," she said, defeatedly tying it back up again. "Remember what the doctor said." The girl hung her head and said nothing. She hadn't spoken since the accident, not since the doctor had come and Martha had made those ridiculous accusations. "Why don't you go and join the girls in their game?" the schoolmistress said. The blind girl shook her head and spoke so quietly that the teacher had to strain her ear to hear. "It's a bad game." "Nonsense. Come along and play with the others. I'm sure they can help you if you ask." She took Martha's hand and tugged her, stumbling along where the girls were playing in the sunshine. But when she got there, she found that they weren't making dresses for the dolls after all. They were making shrouds, and they covered the dolls with them as if they were corpses. Some of the girls were even making little crosses out of twigs. "What are you doing?" the schoolmistress said. The girls looked at her. "We're holding a funeral for the Frozen Charlotte, Miss Grayson." "Well, stop it at once," the teacher replied. "I never heard of anything so ghoulish." "But, miss, one of the girls said they liked being dead. They told her." And that is the introduction.
Wow. So, yeah. We will see more of that in the next episode. So, we hope you enjoy this. Things should be changing, getting better. We will be...
Yeah, if we've...
Audio should be better, and we'll get better at this as we go.
Yeah. This is the first time either of us have done anything like this.
Yeah.
So, should be a lot of fun as we go on. And thank you for everyone who's listened, yeah, and enjoyed.
So if you're still here now, which we hope you are, go check out the description and follow all those people. And we are going to leave you with this outro. Thank you.